Chapter 126. How? Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Mrs. Crummles, with a tragic recoil. I fear, apostrophe said Nicholas, shaking his head, and making an attempt to smile, that your better half would be more struck with him now than ever. Apostrophe, what mean you? Apostrophe apostrophe rejoined Mrs. Crummles, in her most popular manner. Whence comes this altered tone? Apostrophe apostrophe, I mean, that a dastardly enemy of mine has struck at me through him, and that while he thinks to torture me, he inflicts on him such agonies of terror and suspense as you will excuse me, I am sure, apostrophe said Nicholas, checking himself. I should never speak of this, and never do, except to those who know the facts, but for a moment I forgot myself. Apostrophe, with this hasty apology Nicholas stooped down to salute the phenomenon, and changed the subject, inwardly cursing his precipitation, and very much wondering what Mrs. Crummles must think of so sudden an explosion. That lady seemed to think very little about it, for the supper being by this time on table, she gave her hand to Nicholas, and repaired with a stately step to the left hand of Mr. Snittle Timberry. Nicholas had the honor to support her, and Mr. Crummles was placed upon the chairman's right. The phenomenon and the Master Crumleses sustained the vice. The company amounted in number to some 25 or 30, being composed of such members of the theatrical profession, then engaged or disengaged in London, as were numbered among the most intimate friends of Mr. and Mrs. Crummles. The ladies and gentlemen were pretty equally balanced, the expenses of the entertainment being defrayed by the latter, each of whom had the privilege of inviting one of the former as his guest. It was upon the whole a very distinguished party, for independently of the lesser theatrical lights who clustered on this occasion round Mr. Snittle Timberry, there was a literary gentleman present who had dramatized in his time 247 novels as fast as they had come out, some of them faster than they had come out, and who was a literary gentleman in consequence. This gentleman sat on the left hand of Nicholas, to whom he was introduced by his friend the African Swallower, from the bottom of the table, with a high eulogium upon his fame and reputation. I am happy to know a gentleman of such great distinction, apostrophe said Nicholas, politely. Sir, apostrophe replied the wit, you're very welcome, I'm sure. The honor is reciprocal, sir, as I usually say when I dramatize a book. Did you ever hear a definition of fame, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, I have heard several, apostrophe replied Nicholas, with a smile. What is yours? Apostrophe apostrophe, when I dramatize a book, sir, apostrophe said the literary gentleman, that's fame. For its author. Apostrophe, oh, indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe rejoined Nicholas. That's fame, sir, apostrophe said the literary gentleman. So Richard Turpin, Tom King, and Jerry Abershaw have handed down to fame the names of those on whom they committed their most impudent robberies? Apostrophe apostrophe said Nicholas. I don't know anything about that, sir, apostrophe answered the literary gentleman. Shakespeare dramatized stories which had previously appeared in print, it is true, apostrophe observed Nicholas. Meaning Bill, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe said the literary gentleman. So he did. Bill was an adapter, certainly, so he was, and very well he adapted to considering. Apostrophe, I was about to say, apostrophe rejoined Nicholas, that Shakespeare derived some of his plots from old tales and legends in general circulation. But it seems to me that some of the gentlemen of your craft, at the present day, have shot very far beyond him, apostrophe, you're quite right, sir, apostrophe interrupted the literary gentleman, leaning back in his chair, and exercising his toothpick. Human intellect, sir, has progressed since his time, is progressing, will progress. Apostrophe, shot beyond him, I mean, apostrophe resumed Nicholas, in quite another respect, for, whereas he brought within the magic circle of his genius, traditions peculiarly adapted for his purpose, and turned familiar things into constellations which should enlighten the world for ages. You drag within the magic circle of your dullness, subjects not at all adapted to the purposes of the stage, and debase as he exalted. For instance, you take the uncompleted books of living authors, fresh from their hands, wet from the press, cut, hack, and carve them to the powers and capacities of your actors, and the capability of your theaters, finish unfinished works, hastily and crudely vamp up ideas not yet worked out by their original projector, but which have doubtless cost him many thoughtful days and sleepless nights. By a comparison of incidents and dialogue, down to the very last word he may have written a fortnight before, do your utmost to anticipate his plot, all this without his permission, and against his will, and then, to crown the whole proceeding, publish in some mean pamphlet, an unmeaning farrago of garbled extracts from his work, to which your name as author, with the honorable distinction annexed, of having perpetrated 100 other outrages of the same description. Now, show me the distinction between such pilfering as this, and picking a man's pocket in the street. Unless, indeed, it be that the legislature has a regard for pocket handkerchiefs, and leaves men's brains, except when they are knocked out by violence, to take care of themselves. Apostrophe, men must live, sir, apostrophe, said the literary gentleman, shrugging his shoulders. That would be an equally fair plea in both cases, apostrophe, replied Nicholas. But if you put it upon that ground, I have nothing more to say than that if I were a writer of books, and you a thirsty dramatist, I would rather pay your tavern score for 6 months, large as it might be, than have a niche in the temple of fame with you for the humblest corner of my pedestal, through 600 generations. Apostrophe, the conversation threatened to take a somewhat angry tone, when it had arrived thus far, but Mrs. Crummles opportunely interposed to prevent its leading to any violent outbreak, by making some inquiries of the literary gentleman relative to the plots of the 6 new pieces which he had written by contract, to introduce the African knife swallower in his various unrivaled performances. This speedily engaged him in an animated conversation with that lady, in the interest of which, all recollection of his recent discussion with Nicholas very quickly evaporated. The board being now clear of the more substantial articles of food, and punch, wine, and spirits being placed upon it and handed about, the guests, who had been previously conversing in little groups of 3 or 4, gradually fell off into a dead silence, while the majority of those present glanced from time to time at Mr. Snittle Timberry, and the bolder spirits did not even hesitate to strike the table with their knuckles, and plainly intimate their expectations, by uttering such encouragements as now, Tim, apostrophe, wake up, Mr. Chairman, apostrophe, all charged, sir, and waiting for a toast, and so forth. To these remonstrances Mr. Timberry deigned no other rejoinder than striking his chest and gasping for breath, and giving many other indications of being still the victim of indisposition, for a man must not make himself too cheap either on the stage or off, while Mr. Crummles, who knew full well that he would be the subject of the forthcoming toast, sat gracefully in his chair with his arm thrown carelessly over the back, and now and then lifted his glass to his mouth, and drank a little punch, with the same air with which he was accustomed to take long draughts of nothing, out of the pasteboard goblets, in banquet scenes. At length Mr. Snittle Timberry rose in the most approved attitude, with one hand in the breast of his waistcoat, and the other on the nearest snuff box, and having been received with great enthusiasm, proposed, with abundance of quotations, his friend Mr. Vincent Crummles, ending a pretty long speech, by extending his right hand on one side, and his left on the other, and severally calling upon Mr. and Mrs. Crummles to grasp the same. This done, Mr. Vincent Crummles returned thanks, and that done, the African swallower proposed Mrs. Vincent Crummles, in affecting terms, Then were heard loud moans and sobs from Mrs. Crummles and the ladies, despite of which that heroic woman insisted upon returning thanks herself, which she did, in a manner and in a speech which has never been surpassed and seldom equaled. It then became the duty of Mr. Snittle Timberry to give the young Crumleses, which he did, after which Mr. Vincent Crummles, as their father, addressed the company in a supplementary speech, enlarging on their virtues, amiabilities, and excellences, and wishing that they were the sons and daughter of every lady and gentleman present. These solemnities having been succeeded by a decent interval, enlivened by musical and other entertainments, Mr. Crummles proposed that ornament of the profession, the African Swallower, his very dear friend, if he would allow him to call him so, which liberty there being no particular reason why he should not allow it, the African Swallower graciously permitted. The literary gentleman was then about to be drunk, but it being discovered that he had been drunk for some time in another acceptation of the term, and was then asleep on the stairs, the intention was abandoned, and the honor transferred to the ladies. Finally, after a very long sitting, Mr. Snittle Timberry vacated the chair, and the company with many adieu and embraces dispersed. Nicholas waited to the last, to give his little presents. When he had said goodbye all round, and came to Mr. Crummles, he could not but mark the difference between their present separation and their parting at Portsmouth. Not a jot of his theatrical manner remained. He put out his hand with an air which, if he could have summoned it at will, would have made him the best actor of his day in homely parts, and when Nicholas shook it with the warmth he honestly felt, appeared thoroughly melted. We were a very happy little company, Johnson, apostrophe said poor Crummles. You and I never had a word. I shall be very glad tomorrow morning to think that I saw you again, but now I almost wish you hadn't come. Apostrophe, Nicholas was about to return a cheerful reply, when he was greatly disconcerted by the sudden apparition of Mrs. Crudden, who it seemed had declined to attend the supper in order that she might rise earlier in the morning, and who now burst out of an adjoining bedroom, habited in very extraordinary white robes, and throwing her arms about his neck, hugged him with great affection. What? Are you going to? Apostrophe said Nicholas, submitting with as good a grace as if she had been the finest young creature in the world. Going? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Crudden. Lord have mercy, what do you think they do without me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Nicholas submitted to another hug with even a better grace than before, if that were possible, and waving his hat as cheerfully as he could, took farewell of the Vincent Crumleses. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.